quiet. Don't you let him hear ya. Better keep it quiet. Don't you let him hear ya. Better keep it quiet. Don't you let him hear ya. He says drop the jerk. It's way too much work. He's an oddball. Try a dance of mine. I call it the twine. He's an oddball. Guys keep on calling me. They ought to know I'm not going out, and I'll never let go of my oddball. Doesn't follow the rule, so they call him a fool. He's my oddball. He sets the pace. My sweet funny face they call oddball. Shh, better keep it quiet. Shh, don't you let him hear ya. Shh, better keep it quiet. Shh, don't you let him hear ya.
Thank you. faces, worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for their daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. Their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad.
John, you played this same song again. John, wait, my name is John Nelson, and in honor of everything, I am playing the same song again. But in the interest of making this interesting, because I am interested in being interesting, I will find different versions to play instead of doing the thing which it occurs to me to do, which is to play Mad World over and over and over again for as long as it takes to finally have that emotional breakdown. And you know the one I'm talking about. Yes, you most likely do. The one we're all on the verge of having. And have been on the verge of now for... Geez, I can't speak for you, can I? So I'll just speak for myself and say most recently, it's been since realizing this is apparently what the country wants. And no amount of pissing and moaning on social media or wishing it wouldn't be will change the fact that a very large portion of my country wants the madness that's been unfolding. That's what they want us to believe anyway. I refuse to believe that. I'll die in denial if that's the case. Because no, we want peace. We want harmony. We want the ability to love our neighbors, to embrace our differences. I think they just want us mad. Mad at each other, and mad as in insane. And I refuse to alienate this audience by playing the same damn song over and over and over, though that was the original idea. A dumb one. I'm not sure conceptually, fine. But you have to take the audience into consideration. So no, I'll not do that to you, as I know you have the freedom to just turn the radio off if it gets too repetitive. So we'll find really, really good versions, different versions of the same damn song. And I hadn't heard this song ever until I saw it in that movie. I don't know how old I was, teens, 20s. I've spoken, some might say, at length, but no, really just scratching the surface is all I've done about the little conservative bubble I grew up in. And so, no, I never heard the song in question until the movie. And I liked the movie when I first saw it. And then I grew to not like it for one reason or another, aesthetics or something, high standards, too high standards, the curse of comparison. And then I came back to it and liked it again. And it is what it is. It's an interesting movie. And the feeling is very familiar. Plus, I like time travel movies, or whatever this movie is, no matter how Hollywood. I loved, and I still love, movies which read like the half-baked movie ideas I would come up with in junior high school. And that's how this film feels to me. It's fun, and it makes you wonder, and that's all. But anyway, it's not about the movie, it's the music, and the sense of not belonging, of being in a mad world, of being a shiny, bouncy ball, being forced into a pencil sharpener-like apparatus for the good of the empire and just going along with it your whole life because that's what's expected and that's what everyone else is doing, and somehow making it to middle age and still having some bounce, some color, some fun, and that in spite of all the efforts of everyone and everything around you for your whole life, it is indeed a mad world, and we do not belong in it. Except we do, if we can find a place within it, which frankly I've struggled to do my whole life, alone. Few connections, alienated and alienating both. That'll keep you separated, even from those who could make it less painful. This search has just never been a very fruitful one for me. I will say that WFMU has been one of the few rare exceptions to this rule. I feel like I belong here. Thank the gods for WFMU and the safe space it's created for so many odd creative types to feel at home. Thank the gods. You might consider supporting WFMU, in fact, at WFMU.org. So we'll do a Mad World Marathon here on the heels of yet another protest, which is now the norm. Apparently we're going to have to do this now all the time just to convince the rest of the world and ourselves that we haven't all gone completely mad. We want to love and to be loved in return. We do not embrace this madness. Not this kind, anyway. Not this kind. Not this kind. Just say no to madness. Say no. Thank you.
inside my head. I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday. And to feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me, no one. Hello teacher, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me, look right through me. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, cause I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very
Mad World by Renee Fleming here in the Wiggle Room on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream on the mighty WFMU.org. Following, what was it called again? Oh, yes, Mad World by the Key Sessions Quartet from 2004. And I did go down to the street yesterday. As anyone with their eyes open and nothing stopping them did, yesterday I went alone because I'm always alone. I am, by definition, lonely. These days, yes, and historically, always. I had no one to go with. I reached out to a couple of acquaintances here in town. Most were busy with actions of their own or doing radio surrounding this event, and more power to them. I love them for that, but I was alone, as usual, and did not let that stop me from participating. I didn't even make a sign. I just got on all of my most colorful clothing, which, if you know me, and you probably don't, you know that I am the proud owner of a lot of dark blue and gray and pitch black pants and shirts and shoes and hats. I have started wearing more dark red recently. Seems like a step in the right direction, but I'd read we were to meet on a specific corner and to wear bright colors, so I found the WFMU t-shirt that is bright yellow that I own, and the bright orange pants, which I recently was able to fit back into as I have been hitting the gym like a crazy person. Just trying to stay alive, and I walked down there by myself, no sign, just blazing orange and yellow, and I stood there with the others, just being. I didn't even talk to anybody, not right away. That's what a weirdo I am. Eventually there was a dog had been sniffing my shoes, and I decided that I liked the dog, and so I asked the guy who was there with him if I could pet his head, and we talked for a little bit. That dog was a beauty. That dog was beautiful, practically as orange as my pants. Looked like a cross, I swear to God, between a coyote and a fox. And if you're listening, sir, by some wild coincidence, then hello, I'm the weird dude who just stood there without a sign. probably looking sullen for 2 hours, clapping whenever passing cars would honk, and trying not to cry for two reasons. One, we have to do this. We have to do this now. And this sucks. And two, there were so many people and so much positivity and so much to feel hopeful for surrounding this unfortunately necessary action. And yes, it was an emotional 2 hours here in this mad world yesterday. And that's what we're doing this hour, focusing on how mad the world is. We just heard from the Key Session Quartet and also from Renee Fleming. And the show began with Gary Jules with Michael Andrews from 2003 and Anthony Pitts. And speaking of mad world and being mad within it and the forces at work making us even madder, I cannot find the original file online anywhere. And I searched using all the names that man will use according to discogs.org and was even told by AI that it didn't exist. And when I pressed further, I was told it was a myth, spelled M-Y-T-H by AI, suggesting that I had just imagined the song. And that, my friends, is called gaslighting. I've just spent 5 minutes being gaslit by the internet, and I don't appreciate it.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Bright and early for the daily races, going nowhere, going nowhere. And their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression. No expression. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Made to feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen, sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me, no one knew me. Hello teacher, tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me. Look right through me. And I find it kinda funny, I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world.
Thank you. filling up their glasses. No expression, no expression. Hang my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. No tomorrow, no tomorrow. Yeah, I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's so very
faces in these worn out places. Bright and early for the daily races, but we're going nowhere. I'm wearing glasses just to hide my tears with these expressionless glances. No loving romances. Hide my head, I wanna drown my sorrow. I had a bad day, I don't wanna see tomorrow. No tomorrow. That's how I live my life. And day by day I wonder, will I ever win the strife? People are so selfish, and it's every man for themselves. That's why we can't learn to love ourselves. And I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. These feelings that I feel inside make me wanna break. I find it kinda funny, but I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. It's a what? It's a mad world. It's a very, very mad world. I still am waiting for the day that I feel good. It won't happen, no it won't happen. I'm stuck up in this maze trap like a rabbit. Please let me out, please let me out. I go to school and people look right through me. Never took the chance to know me, the true me. So I'm standing all alone in a place that's crowded. And all I got left is a paradise that's clouded. I'm on the edge and I can fall. But if I fail, would you even care at all? Do you remember me? We used to be friends, but now my only friend is my pen and pen and my bottle of gin to drink away all my sins. Cause if I repent, maybe God will let me in. And I find it kinda funny, but I find it kinda sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. It's a what? It's a mad world. It's a very, very mad world. It's a mad world. I fill my glass
place just now, but now it's empty. I don't belong here, and the fact just hit me. The dreams that I thought one day I might have, they won't come true. This world makes me mad, this world makes me mad. Full of people who are glad they turn their back on others when the others got it bad. And I find it funny, I find it sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. It's a what? It's a mad world. It's a very, very mad world. It's a what? It's a mad world. It's a very, very mad world. Mad world. It's a very, very mad world.
Rocco B covered Mad World in 2008, as did Ken Tizard. And Wise Guys, of course, from 2006, who started the set here in the Wiggle Room on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream at WFMU.org. My name is John Nelson, and this is an experiment. I'm experimenting with doing quicker turnaround episodes, as I've been asked. Well, I've been consistently asked for more content, and what a mixed blessing that is to be asked by an entity like WFMU for more when you're a perfectionist like I am, and there are only so many hours in the day. But honestly, I only started doing radio again because WFMU asked me to, and now they're asking for more. And who am I to say no? No, I can't say no. So I must instead learn how to crank it out and still feel like sharing the results. I'm trying. And how do you do that? Well, I like to listen to myself talk. Yes, I do. And any DJ who argues they don't is lying to you when they say, oh, that DJ just loves the sound of his own voice, doesn't he? And then the DJ sputters, what? They're in denial or feeling defensive, one or both. But yes, I love the sound of my own voice, even when it's raspy like this. And I actually hate to hear it because it's not the sound. It's the communication. And that's what DJs love, is to communicate. I think most of us want to be heard, but don't know how to contribute normally, quote unquote, in normal conversations, and are always waiting for our turn to talk, and it never comes. So we find little pockets and corners and music to play. And of course, we love the sound that we make. And I love to create a playlist. And even though this probably seems quite simple, and is, it's also the result of a long period of listening to every version of this damn song and choosing only the best ones from my perspective. And you'll notice it does not include the original. Sorry, fellas. You wrote a great song, though. And then some time as well, just figuring out the order. In other words, I made a mixtape. That's all I did. I made a mixtape for you. And hopefully you did a lot of this too growing up. It's my love language. I make mixtapes. Just like I have a long list of my favorite movies, and if you love me, you've sat through a large, large number of them with me. And trust me, there are only a small handful of people in the world who can claim to have done that with me. And half of them got so tired of it, they no longer speak to me. What was I saying about being lonely? A clue. But it's a legitimate love language. Just one which the vast majority doesn't speak. It's easier with radio, though, and hopefully some of you are still out there tuned in. Hi, thanks for joining me here in the Wiggle Room on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream, where experimentation is the key to joy, both for me and hopefully for you. Should we consider the songwriter's intent? Okay, I googled what were Mad World songwriter's intentions, and one of the first things I saw, which you should not trust, Roland O. actually said. Why? Because I'm reading this off the internet. That's why. And that's one lesson we've all learned from this past decade, yes, that the internet is a damn liar, more now than it ever was, and fixing to get much, much worse, yes. He is said to have said, quote, that came when I lived above a pizza restaurant in Bath. and I could look out onto the center of the city. Not the bath is very mad. I should have called it bourgeois world, unquote. Bourgeois world. Yeah, mad world sounds better. But that brings us back to the beginning in a way, because if this country is in cold civil war, which is what it feels like, what are the things being fought for and why? Well, it's a class war, isn't it? With just a touch of culture war to spice things up. It's the moneyed interests versus the rest of us. And the rest of us, as always, are way louder and way larger, and yet we still just don't seem to have the power somehow. And that's all I'll say. But it's the push toward the middle class and the maybe upper middle class, let's say, since we all labor mistakenly under the impression that we're middle class these days, even as it shrinks and is ready to shrink much further. It's the cultural expectation that everyone do better than his or her parents, which isn't possible. I said better than his or her parents. It isn't possible. It never was. Do the math. And that's essentially what Roland was saying, I think, if he ever said anything about this song that he wrote. It's the bourgeois world and all that implies. And I'll leave it to someone smarter than me to say more about that. I am not qualified, though you wouldn't know it if you were following me on social media. Yap, yap, yap. I'm going to leave you this episode with something from 2005 called, oh, what was that called again? Oh, yeah, Mad World. My final selection is by Nightbird, and you're hearing it here in the Wiggle Room on the Sheena's Jungle Room stream. Thanks for joining me here at WFMU.org. Stay mad, but don't go mad. That's what they want you to do.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces, bright and early for their daily races, going nowhere, and the tears are filling up their glasses, no expression, no expression. Hide my head, I want to drown my sorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm flying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Mad world. Children waiting for the day they feel good. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, made to feel the way that every child should. Sit and listen. Went to school and I was very nervous. No one knew me, no one knew me. Have a teacher tell me what's my lesson. Look right through me. Right through me, and I find it kind of funny, I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm flying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you, I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very mad world. Live a good life. is a world. Only is a world.
Ah, well, gosh darn it, I said this was an experiment, and look, see, I ran short by a mile. Or 19 minutes, anyway. And I'm sorry, but I don't have another hour to mess around trying to figure out how to fill the rest of this episode. So I'm going to take the easy way out, the lazy way out, and I've just scoured my music here by runtime and to see what we got in the area 19 minutes to fill. And here's one almost exactly 19 minutes, and this is something that my dad used to play for me when I was a kid, called Alice's Restaurant. And it's been about 30 years since he played it for me, and I don't know much about it, except that it was one of those love language kind of songs, like I was talking about earlier. This is a song my dad made me listen to, the same way he would put on comedy records after church on Sunday and insist I sit down and listen. You know, that was his way of saying he loved me. He liked this song, and he liked me. So here, listen to this. I get it now. Anyway, it doesn't not belong here, I guess. So here we go. It's Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie on WFMU.org.
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I called the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago, it was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant, she lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fatcha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage and just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking to Obie for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage and Also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in a red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on. I said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car, and that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in the newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obie, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hangings. Said, Obie, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obie said he was making sure, and friends, Obie was, cause he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll and have an escape. Obie was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures, and the judge walked in, sat down with the C&I dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the C&I dog. And then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the C&I dog. And then at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, cause Obie came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. We got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like the, I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. And I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down the hall, said, you're our boy. Didn't feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I when finally came to see the very last man, I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? And I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one that stopped me right there and said, kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid! And I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W is where they put you if you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. And there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There's mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one it was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime fighting guys are sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, kid, what'd you get? Said I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage. I said, what were you arrested for, kid? And I said, littering. And they all moved away from me on the bench there to carry eyeball and all kinds of mean, nasty things till I said, and creating a nuisance. And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine, we were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 cents, it's 58 words. We want to know details of the crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got a separate time about the crime. Want to know the rest of the officer's name and else kind of thing. You got to stand and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the Massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quoted, read the following words. Kid, have you rehabilitated yourself? I went over to the sergeant and said, Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on a Group W bench. Because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. He looked at me and said, Kid, we don't like your kind. And we're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do. Is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in and say, shrink. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they both say yes and they won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's restaurant anti-massacre creed movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. That was horrible. You want to end war and stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud. Or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four-part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant, excepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. At Alice's restaurant.
Suicide. jive. Don't wanna stay alive when you're 25. And when you're stealing clothes from Marks and Sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the stars, from his face, funky little boat race. The television man is crazy, same with juvenile delinquent rats.
And good hello. It's Mid Valley Mutations here on Sheena's Jungle Room, WFMU. And we have another installment of a regular feature that we have on this program. The people who died, celebrating the lives of those we lost. Something that unfortunately becomes harder and harder to do as the years go on. It seems like an interesting radio idea. Yeah, let's play a lot of music and stuff. But after a while, sometimes it starts to dwell on your heart. And so this year, I'm trying to have a little fun. I'm trying to pick some upbeat stuff. I'm trying to do a little bit of a remix here in later on in hour one that I think might be interesting and would still kind of get at stuff. And we're gonna try to take this into an interesting direction and hopefully not have it be just a constant dirge. But we will have the phone lines open later, so